Blog Talk Radio.
How many of you tonight have found the Savior? Come on, put them hands up there if you found him. Now put them together for him. Put them hands together for the Lord tonight. He's worthy to be praised. This is for all the mothers out there. I know you like this.
Get on the kidney machine. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Right here in Nashville. At Vanderbilt Hospital. On the 10th floor. body had too much fluid. Wait a minute. Seems like every clinic in Nashville say we can't dialyze you. How many know God always got a ram in the bush? Can I get a witness in here? I had too much fluid on me and had to sit up. Couldn't lay in the bed or sleep. It was cutting my breath. But I got down to Vanderbilt Hospital. On the 10th floor, they ran me for 3.5 hours. And when I got off of the machine, I got out of the bed. I began to shake myself. And the doctor said, we've never seen a man. Seem like everybody that gets on the machine, when they get off, they gotta sit down and relax. But I told him, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and that he's done for me. Touch your neighbor, say, he's sweet, I know. Look at him, say, he's sweet, I know.
Hallelujah. I know that he is sweet. I know. One moment, guys. Hallelujah. He is sweet. I know. You're so sweet, and I know. You taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. He is sweet. I know. And every time I get a chance to just testify and just tell of his goodness and how good he is to not just to me, but to the world, to all creation, to the mercy brand new that he just reaches out his hand and extends to us. He is sweet, I know. Oh, I thank you right now, Jesus, for all those who will not take our time to thank you. I praise you right now for all of those who will not take our time to praise you, because you are sweet and I know it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I look around and I see your sweetness. Dear Father, hallelujah. I look around, dear Father, and you lift up the bow down. I see your sweetness. Oh, and you give comfort to those that are grieving. I see your sweetness. He is sweet, I know. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you, dear Father, to just come and just present yourself to us like no other one can, dear Father. Just open up our hearts and just look inside of us, dear Father. Search us, dear Father, from within. You said you concentrate and you look at the heart. Man may look at the outer portion of us, Jesus. They may get hung up on what we have on, or the way that we carry ourselves, or even the style of our hair, the color of our skin. But you concentrate on my heart, and then you work from the heart and you move from within. And so I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I ask that I may decrease, dear Father, and that you may increase, and that you may speak your word, dear Father, like no one else can, in the mighty name of Jesus. Open up the hearts of all of the listeners, dear Father. Dear Father, someone is lonely right now. Someone don't have answers to the questions that has kept them up, dear Father, over and over at night, dear Father. But right now, I say thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. Thank you for your peace and your joy. In the mighty name of Jesus, We invite you to come and just shake up, dear Father, our troubles, dear Father, and turn them into our pleasures, dear Father, and shake up all of our mess, dear Father, and put a message in our mouth, dear Father, and all the tests that we're going through and the trials we're going through, dear Father, give us a platform to stand up and make it into a testimony in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all that will hear this in the archives, blessings over your household, blessings over your health, that you may not even need a healing because you're going to be in perfect health. Blessings over the strength and that where you feel that you're weak. Blessings over your relationships. Blessing over your kids right now. You may not know where they are, but I bless them right now. Open your mouth and speak blessings over your kids right now. Repent of your sin right where you're at. Repent and God will turn. Give him an opportunity to use you. You must repent of your sins. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you. Hallelujah. Just as we are, dear Father. Just as we are, dear Father. We may be down and out and still in the midst of the pit of our sins, but we come to you, Jesus, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. One more time, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. And he's sweet, and I know it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our scripture for today is going to be coming from the book of Luke. The book of Luke. As we today reach out and speak a little bit about our fathers. Hallelujah. Is that time again? What role did your father play in your life? I invite everyone to call in. The number is 646-652-4916. Hallelujah. 646-652-4916. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I remind you that you can get any of the teachings here in the archives. It's still there for you. Reach out. Touch it. Meditate on the word. Let it change your life. Nobody can do it. God, we can present the word because he's given me the anointing to preach the word, but only he can actually change your life, can save you. Just come to him. You just got to be willing. Repent of your sins and come just as you are. Hallelujah. The fathers. Oh, my God. I am so happy to be talking about fathers today, the leaders, these grown, these strong men that just have been there all of our lives in some shape or fashion. Whether your father was in your life when you was growing up or it was your uncle that played that role, is some man, hopefully, that you can look up to and say thank you on this Father's Day. Hallelujah. We even have stories of some people who are saying the things that their fathers did against them. But hallelujah, God is a father above all fathers. And I just thank him for being there when others would not be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're looking in the book of Luke today. That is in the New Testament, the book of Luke. And we're going to start in chapter 2, and we're going to go quickly through, starting at verse 41, going to 51. 41 to 51, and we will move quickly because it is a full 10 scriptures. All right. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and we're speaking about the boy Jesus at the temple. Verse 42 reads, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom, and after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it, speaking of the parents. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him amongst their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Hallelujah. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. 49 tells us that he speaks and says, she speaks and says, why were you searching for me, he says. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Verse 50 says, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. 51 says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And 52 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And let's just go back. Now, they're searching for the young Jesus. And now they traveled a day before they even realize that he's not with them. And then they go back to look for him. And then after 3 days, they found him. Hallelujah. He had to be in the presence of his father. What precious words. So 49 again. His question to her was, why were you searching for me? He said, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? So it's not that he was saying, you know, hey, Mom, why are you even searching for me? I don't want to be with you. He was just saying, if you were looking for me, you should have known to come straight here because you should have known that I had to be in my father's house. Hallelujah. So the good father, a maternal father, that our earthly father, is a good sign if he is doing his job, is if he is always closely connected to the Heavenly Father. And he feels like for me to raise my family, I must always be in the presence of the Lord. Whether I'm on my job, whether I'm with my kids, I'm still in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he says in 51 that even though his parents did not understand exactly what he was saying, of why he was feeling that way, but he was obedient and went with them down to Nazareth. Hallelujah. And he continued to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men because of obedience. So, what about your father? What was going on in your father's life? What role did your father play in your life? Hallelujah. What role did he play in your life? What can you look back now and look at yourself and say, I'm like my father in that way. My father taught me this. My father did these things for me. Hallelujah. And then many of us may say, you know, my father was not in my life. I really didn't know my father. I knew of my father, but I never really knew my father. You may say that someone else took the place. I had an uncle who stood up. I had a stepfather who was that father for me, who made sure that I had that fatherly love that I needed. Was the one who stood beside my mother or my grandmother, whoever it was that raised you. Whoever it is, we just want to salute our men today. You know, sometimes it looks like when Mother's Day come along, we go out of our way to just lift up mothers, which is so awesome. So awesome. And the whole world just seems to just blossom around Mother's Day. And all the phone lines, whether it is cell phone or whether it's your landline or whether it's your internet, your Skype, everything is just jam-packed. Not just on Mother's Day, but the whole weekend surrounding Mother's Day. It is just packed. Everyone reaching out and just saying, thank you, Mom. I thank you for your sacrifices. I thank you for just loving me. I thank you for just pushing me when I didn't want to be pushed. I thank you for seeing something in me that I didn't see. I thank you for drawing out the goodness out of me when the whole world, all they could see was the badness in me. So we reach out and we gather around our mothers, and that's such a beautiful thing. I have a wonderful mother, Mrs. Annie Pearl Harwell, an awesome mother. So we do those things. And then Father's Day come along, and we kind of, it's kind of a nonchalant. We acknowledge Father's Day, and we will say Happy Father's Day, but we don't give it the power and the awe that we give on Mother's Day. But fathers are supposed to be the head of our household. They're supposed to be the leaders.
And I know, and like we spoke about, in many situations, we don't get that from all of our fathers, and a lot of us don't have that father figure there, so it's not as important to us as Mother's Day. But I just want to take some time now and just salute fathers. Now, as a female, I'm going by the biblical fathers, godly fathers, because I understand what a good father is. God bless them. I have had the opportunity to be around some wonderful fathers. I have even brothers who are wonderful fathers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have a son who is a wonderful father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. He's the father of two. And as a matter of fact, a happy belated birthday to him. I forgot to mention his birthday on our June 13th show. But hallelujah, we thank God for my oldest son as he celebrated his 29th birthday. He is the he and his wife have a 5-year-old, and then they have a 20-month-old. So we just thank God for him being a wonderful father. So today, how to be a godly father, as we ask ourselves, what role do fathers play in your life? As we just talk about how you see your father, what's your best and funniest moment? I would have loved to have heard from some people today just to hear some of the things that's going on in their life. But we're doing this all weekend, and we are going to have some people come on and share those things with us, those precious things with us. As a godly father, many men desire to be good fathers, but so what really matters is whether or not they are godly fathers. Some men don't know how to be a good father because maybe their father was not good to them. And as much as they may say as youth, I don't ever want to grow up and walk in that pattern or in his shoes, but as they grow older and they find themselves as a father, and when stress comes about, or when it's a time that they don't know how to answer the question or how to get their family out of the situation, they rely back to only thing that they knew, and that's the same patterns that they were taught from their fathers, and then it's easily to fall into that same pattern, and you end up doing, saying, and acting in the same way, good or bad, that your father was. That's why it's so important to be a godly father. So what really matters, again, is whether or not they are godly fathers, not because you desire to be a good father, but are you a godly father? And so here are four biblical principles that, by God's grace, can be used to lay a sound foundation in helping fathers become godly fathers. Hallelujah! Become godly fathers. First, godly fathers are first godly men. It doesn't work for fathers to bell out and say to their children, just do as I say, not as I do. That's too easily. Kids need to have an example. They need to see the road that you're traveling down, that you're calling them to follow you down. They need to know, okay, Dad, are you following this road? Let me see you walk down the pathway. Don't tell me to walk down there and you're not nowhere in that area. They want to follow you. They need a leader. So do as I say, not as I do, doesn't always work. In Matthew 23:3, it says children must be able to see an example of Christ in their fathers. Again, Matthew 23:3. Children, as my kids, yours, even as adults, must be able to see an example of Christ in their fathers. Paul said to his spiritual children in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Unto men by faith follow in the example of Christ himself. They cannot be godly examples for their own children until they begin to follow in the examples of Christ. And then they can be a godly example for their kids and tell their kids the same as Paul did. Be imitators of me, my son, my daughters, just as I also am of Christ. A wife submits to her husband when she sees that her husband submits to Christ. So it's the same with the kids. The kids will submit to the parents and the father being the head of the household when they can see that the father is following the examples of Christ. So that is our first. That is one of the first ones that we're speaking about. So if you're taking notes, how to be a godly father, as we speak about the roles that fathers play in your life, our first role is that father must be a godly father. And he must be a godly father that is leading by example. Hallelujah. Our scriptures for the leading by example, again, was Matthew 23:3 and 1 Corinthians 11:1. And don't just write it down. Go back and read it. Go back and study it. Make sure that you can see. Don't take Evangelist Vaughn's word for it. It's the word of the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. Apply it to your life. Second, godly fathers love their children unconditionally. Unconditionally is a significant word. See, it implies that love is not merited or earned, and that the father's treatment of his children is not dictated by what they can offer him in return. The father of the prodigal son stood waiting and watching for his son to return to him in Luke 15:20. Hallelujah. It's not just about what you can do for him, but the life that the father sees you as you grow from a baby into a little toddler, and as you start into pre-kindergarten, and then you get up into the little tween years. The father gets to watch the examples that he has walked before you and how now you are using that as you're in middle school and high school, and then you graduate and you go off to college. And it's, again, it's not about, you know, the things that he may have been a lawyer, and then he wants you to be a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with the father wanting you to pattern after him, but if you choose to do something else, as long as you're choosing success, as long as you're looking inside of you and finding whatever else that's put inside of you, and you're allowing God to work that thing out, hallelujah, because he will finish what he started in you. That's what his word says. So a father has unconditional love. Hallelujah. It's not earned love. So that father's treatment of his child, even though he's disappointed by some of the actions, God is disappointed by our actions. But the father still loves him because our father still loves us. It's not, his love is not dictated by what it is. You know, you're going to be a doctor, so now you can help me. Okay, help when needed, if you can help, if help is needed in those areas. But it's not about my son is now a doctor, so I can go brag to my community about my son's a doctor. What is your son doing? See, a father loves you. If you're mowing grass, if you're whatever you're doing, a father has unconditional love. Just like the father of the prodigal son, even though he had just went through all of the money, even though he had hit rock bottom, he returned home. And the father saw this son was dead. Put the royal ring on him, get him his robes, wash him. Let's get the fattest calf, the grain calf. Let's really celebrate because he's now returned. I'm not holding against him what he did because a lesson was learned. This is my son, and I have the opportunity to break bread with him again after I thought he was dead. I didn't even know if I would ever see him again. Unconditional love. Hallelujah. Take some time and read over the story, Luke 15:20. And when he finally did return, as you see in the story, again, the father didn't judge the son. He didn't force him to earn back his favor, saying, well, you're going to have to do just like you said. You're going to have to go back into the vineyards. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to do the things all over again to earn my love. No. He didn't force him in. He didn't force him to earn back his favor or earn back his love, earn back his approval. He just simply embraced him. He just simply embraced him, and he threw the celebratory party for his son. Hallelujah. And he could do this because his love for his son wasn't based upon what his son could do for him, but simply and strictly upon the fact that he was his son. So godly fathers don't make their children earn their approval. And they don't use their children's behavior as a condition for their love. Hallelujah. They just don't do that. Thirdly, as we move along, we're looking at the book of Proverbs. It's where we're finding our third. It's going to be Proverbs 22 and 6. Again, it is Proverbs 22 and 6. And, of course, Proverbs is in the New Testament, the Tanakh. Proverbs is in the New Testament, the Tanakh. All right, and here we go. Now, on our third point, godly fathers train their children how to love. Godly fathers train their children how to honor. Who are they loving? They train them to honor and love who? You would be so surprised of how many people right here that you may know that train their kids at a very early age to respect other people, to respect their mom, their dad, grandparents, sisters and brothers, to respect their teachers and people in their classes. But they never, ever take out time for Proverbs 22 and 6 and train that child to love and honor God. If you are a parent, if you are a leader, a father, it is your duty to train your child how to love and honor God. How to love and honor God. Now, Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does it mean that he will never do any wrong? No. Does it mean that he will never go astray? No. Does it mean that he will never disappoint you? I wish it did. But the answer is no. But does it mean that even though he may not do everything that you would like him to do, may not take every step that you would like for them to take, marry the person you would like for them to marry, may not listen to you when you know that this is going to be trouble, may not listen to you when you know that job is not going to be the right thing. It's going to cause some pain. So remember that second one? When they go through that pain, when they go through that marriage, and it does, just like you saw them going into it, they come out of it just like you saw, hurt, bruised, wounded. They get on that job and they're more miserable than they ever were before. Depressed, lonely, angry, upset all the time. Hallelujah. They run and they try, you know, spend money to make the happiness, whatever it is. But the second one tells us that when they come through it, we are to still have unconditional love. And if we have trained up that child to love and honor God, he will find his way back to God. And he will never go too far. The word of God will always be in his mouth, will always be ringing in his ears, will always be tugging at his heart. Why? Because he's been trained up in the way that he should go. So even when he's old, that training from when he was young will still be a part of his life. He will repent of his sins, because if you teach your child to repent as a baby, as a child, it'll just be something that they have learned. It's learned behavior. And even when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. Ephesians. We just came to Proverbs in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. We're going over to Ephesians, New Testament. Ephesians 6 and 4 echoes, as the whole Bible does, echoes the Proverbs passage, and it's saying, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring up in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. Let's say it again. Fathers, do not provoke your child to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, training in righteousness requires learning the scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for the Bible is how a child must come to know who God is and what God wants. Right? Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for the Bible is how a child must come to know who God is and what God wants, in addition to instructions in wisdom and knowledge according to the Bible. There will also be a time for discipline. Sometimes children will test their boundaries or act out, and they need to be corrected and disciplined. It is more than one way to discipline. But they need to be corrected. They need to be disciplined. Hallelujah. Discipline is not a wrath or outburst. Or when you discipline someone, it's not just your reaction, so you just react on them and you swing out. That's not discipline. Rather, discipline, it is a purpose. It is purposeful. Calculated means of imposing consequences grounded in love. Do not discipline your child when you allow your child to just stand up and just do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say. Now, don't get me wrong, hear me from the Spirit. Because on the flip side of that, you're not disciplining your child when no one can speak but you, when no one has an opinion but you, when you're so big and bad that you feel like because you're bigger or that you're the parent, that the child has to just only listen to you. Discipline is a calculated means of imposing consequences, but it's grounded in love. It's grounded in love. Even our Heavenly Father disciplines those sons whom he loves. Hebrews 12 and 6. And the fact that a father is willing to discipline his children proves that he loves them. Hallelujah. It proves that he loves them. Fathers who let their children get away with anything and everything fail to demonstrate the tough love that is sometimes needed. Do you remember the priest, Eli? You remember Eli and how he failed to discipline his son? He failed to discipline his son. Did a great job with Samuel, but his own son, he failed to discipline. Hallelujah. We're not even going to look at all the different things that went on with David and some of his sons. So a father who lets his children get away with anything, lets his a father who allows the mother to let the kids get away with anything, and he just sit back because he says, well, that's the way she wants it. I'm not going to say anything or she'll get upset. For whatever reason, it takes a big person to be a father. Not every man who has kids can say that they are a father, that they're there to raise human beings that they can go out into society and be successful for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Tough love that is sometimes needed. So we're talking about, again, the different things. We're talking about what roles did your father play in your life? Was he there at the baseball games with you? Was he there at the soccer game? Was there a father that you could always depend on? Was he a loving father to your mother? Was he someone that you knew that you could always get love from? Was he always there even when you was in trouble with mom? Dad was somewhere saying, okay, we still love you. Okay, you're okay. When you were, your heart was broken, was dad always there to say, son, it's going to be okay? To say, my daughter, you know, it's going to be okay. Was dad there? Hallelujah. We look around the world, and sometimes we look at somebody like June Cleaver or the Cosbys, and you'll find yourself, some people just say, I wish I had been in an atmosphere like that. I wish I had had that kind of father. Some people say, you know what? My father was not Bill Huxtable. He wasn't Cliff Huxtable. That's why I couldn't get that out. However, but he wasn't perfect. He didn't do this and he didn't do that, but my old man loved me. My old man made sure he came up to every play that I did. My old man took me around on the baseball field. Somebody may say the only thing I really remember about my father is just him carrying me around on my shoulders. Hallelujah. The lady that was telling me that, she was just saying what a great time it was for her. She said she just, as a small child, anywhere they went, he and the mom would be holding hands, and she would be up on his shoulders. And that's just something she always looked forward to. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, and many times you had to have dirtied up the collar, or you had to maybe spill some down on his head, or you know, whatever, but a father, next time you get ready to go, he puts you right back up there again. Our father, just the one who teaches you how to bowl or to your stance you need for that baseball, starting with T-ball, whatever it is. A father, we salute you today. All fathers, we salute you today. For the godly father seeks to give his children good gifts. A godly father seeks to give his children good gifts. Now, it gets a little complicated because some people, they have different views of what are good gifts. The godly fathers go beyond just giving spiritual gifts, such as wisdom and biblical instructions to seek and to give good gifts of all kinds. Okay? Our Heavenly Father is the ultimate example of this. In James 1 and 7, and again, that's in the New Testament, it says, every good thing given, I like this, and every perfect gift, hallelujah, he said it's from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. He doesn't change anything. He doesn't switch. Let's just say that again. Hallelujah. Thank you for every good gift. James 1 and 7 says, every good gift given And every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Hallelujah. No variation. Every good gift. So now, you may think that the gift that you give to your son or your daughter, the BMW at 16, or like Sean Combs just gave his son a Maybach for 16th birthday, and good gift. But I'm not saying that he has not, but have you, have I, are we making sure that we are given spiritual gifts also? Spiritual gifts of wisdom. He said, yeah, well, I taught him about protecting himself with girls, and I've taught him about this, but I'm speaking of something deeper than that. I've taught my daughter about different things that she needs to be aware of with boys, but I'm speaking of spiritual wisdom. Now, you have to have it. You can't teach them about it if you don't know about it yourself. But biblical instructions, have you taught them biblical instructions? I'm not just talking about teaching them to show up in a building and then come outside of the building and do whatever you want to do, but I'm talking about how to get in the presence of the Lord. Have you taught them how to get in the presence of the Lord? Now, don't perpetrate, because if you don't know how, you can't teach them. Hallelujah. Now, I know you can get the other gifts, the earthly gifts, the worldly gifts. And those are good gifts also, because it's good gifts of all kinds that you should be given, right? Because that's what the Heavenly Father does to us. We just read in James 1 that he gave us good gifts. And all, he said, everything good, all good things given, and every perfect gift. It's from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. So that means that that's the good gift. If he gives us our health and our strength, he gives us our biblical and spiritual wisdom and biblical instruction. He gives us our spouses that, you know, you said, you know, I'm just blessed. I just love to run into couples when they just say that, you know, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. Don't you just love to see a couple when they are in love? They may have been together, you know, 2 years or 10 years, but they're just in love. 59 years, as my Uncle Charles and Aunt Henrietta. But they're still in love. And then you see other couples that they've been together 2 months or maybe 7 years, and you never saw a spark of love between them at all. And you wonder, why are they together? What made them want to be together? Why are they putting themselves through that? Why are they bringing kids into the world? Why are they perpetrating? Everyone in the world can see this is about the most miserable thing it is. But when you have a good thing, somebody out there know what I'm talking about. When you have a good thing, you know, you're just praising God. You feel so blessed because you look at the couples that are not, or you look at the people who are in your life as your friends and your associates. When you have a good job and you come in every morning because you have a good manager, your CEO, you know, is a good person, and you know that they're not trying to do you wrong. It makes you feel good. And you just thank God for every good thing that he's given. Hallelujah. So as we look around today, we should stop and appreciate some of the things that, the good things. Some of us have jobs. And we go to jobs because we need to live, to survive. And then some of us has careers, and we go on our careers, and it's just something that we love to do, and maybe it wasn't even a profession that we thought we would be in, but it's something about the way that the CEO or the one that is over you, the whole company, makes you feel, and how they invest in you and how they show you that you're special and they're glad to have you a part of their family. And you just know that it is of God. And you said, thank you, God. So when we thank our Heavenly Father, let's look back now at our earthly fathers, the uncles or whoever played that father role. Wives, look at your husbands that you know he's been a good father. And we look at the things that father has made a way out of no way. And father could have let you go to jail, but instead he said, I'm going to give you one more time, one more chance. Come on, I'm going to bail you out here. Because I love you. And I want to give you another opportunity, which is a good thing. It's a good gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God knows. And a good father knows what we desire. Hallelujah. And God knows and asks for, he knows what we desire and what we ask for, because he knows and cares for what we really want and need. And that's the same with the earthly father. He knows your desires and the things that you need. He cares about you. He cares about the things that you really want. He cares about the things that you really need. Psalms 37:4. And then write this one down also. Philippians 4:19. Hallelujah. Let's just look real quickly here at Psalms 37:4. And again, Psalms is in the New Testament. I'm sorry. Psalms is in the Old Testament, and then we'll go to the New Testament for Philippians, okay? Excuse me. And we're doing Psalms 37. And we'll do verse 4. All right. And it says, delight yourself. Don't you like the word delight? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself. Don't just study the word because, evangelists said if I just pick up the word and read, eventually I would get there. But get excited about the Lord. Get excited about, I'm going to, develop a relationship with the Lord. Get excited about the one who knows you more than you know yourself, that he wants a relationship with you, and that he said he would give you the desires of your heart. What are you desiring? What are you desiring so much that it's really crushing you, hurting you? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And again, that's Psalms 37:4. You've tried all other kind of different things to, that you try to just pour yourself into it, and you try to delight yourself, and you get excited about it for a moment, until that flesh lets you down, until that flesh doesn't do the things that they promised to do, and then you're hurt, just like flesh should be. Hallelujah. But then the word says that he will never leave us, he will discipline us. And there are consequences for our actions. Don't let no one tell you that it's not. There are consequences for your actions. Hallelujah. So if you're out there doing something, living a sinful life, yes, God will, you can come to him just as you are. And he will clean you up and fix you up and put you up to be a testimony to somebody else. But remember, there are still consequences for the life and the sins that you've chosen. All right? Hallelujah. So let's look now at Philippians 4:19. And now we're going to the New Testament, Philippians 4:19. And we just read how we want to delight ourselves in the Lord, and He will give us what our heart desires. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know a lot of people who are desiring things, and they really, really, really are desiring things in their heart. Well, we could find an answer to that. Just delight yourself in the Lord. Let's back it up again with Philippians 4:19. And it reads, "And may your God and my God, your God, will meet all your needs, my needs, according to His glorious riches in Jesus Christ." So, "And my God will meet all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So in the midst of your troubles and your trials, and when you're desiring things and you don't seem to be getting anywhere with it, and you keep running into flesh who's promising you things and then breaking your heart, repeat after me. Philippians 4:19. "And my God will meet all my needs." That's all of your needs, all of your desires. He will meet those for you according to His glorious riches in who? In Christ Jesus. See, fathers too ought to be sensitive to their children's desires, to their children's needs. They need to avoid the extremes of spoiling their children by giving into their every whim and being on the flip side of it. If you're not giving into their every whim, some fathers then been too stingy and holding back from their children. Because they are afraid to, you know, "I don't want to spoil my child. So maybe, you know, I'm being a little bit too far. I'm on the other far side of it now." So they hold back. You got to have that happy medium. You got to have that happy medium. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, we thank you for all of the ones that are in archives and the ones who have called in. Miss Pretty and our guest 4718, God bless you both, that are still in the chat room. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those and all of the callers. It's just awesome just to hear some of the things and what God is doing in your life. We look forward to tomorrow night when we can really get into it and hear some more testimonies from some of the people. And I just get a thrill out of just listening and just hearing some of the things that people have went through and what people say about their fathers. And I just thought that you also would just get a kick out of knowing what some people say about their fathers. Even fathers that haven't even been in present in people's lives, it's still something about them that they're saying, "Well, you know, I really only met him once, but you know what, I do love him." You know what? It's never too late, fathers. You said, "But the child is grown now, and I really wasn't in their life," but it's never too late. You say, "Well, my father never really paid too much attention to me. And, you know, we were in the same household, but my father still, you know, really never paid too much attention to me. It was my mom who did everything for me." But there's never too late to make a relationship, to change a relationship. Hallelujah. And fathers, remember that you need to avoid the either spoiling or going to the other side and being too stingy and holding back from your children, even your grown children. Grown men and women still need to love their fathers. Old men as fathers still need to love their grown children. A child's view of God will largely be shaped by their father's treatment of them. So young fathers, as you take interest in what brings your children joy, that will go a long way in helping to shape a healthy view of a God's will to do for them what is necessary in the kindness, your wiseness, your best. God wants the best for your children. He wants them to have wisdom. He wants them to be kind-hearted. But you fathers have got to be kind-hearted. So as fathers take interest in what brings their children joy, They will go a long way in helping to shape a healthy fear of a God as God wills for their life. Now, the importance of being a godly father. So, well, what is the biggest thing? We went over a lot. So just going back, the importance of being a godly father cannot be overstated. It cannot be overstated yet. Being human, all fathers will make mistakes along the way. So don't beat yourself up, Dad, if you make mistakes along the way. We're flesh. You're going to make mistakes along the way. But you will be so shocked at how willing that your loved ones, your children, are to forgive you and say, Dad, I'm still in there with you. Hallelujah. However, if you made the mistakes along the way, you will make mistakes along the way. There is no guidebooks to raising kids. Even how these failures are handled is a chance to demonstrate Christ. It's how you handle your mistakes. You're still given the chance to demonstrate Christ in the way that you handle your mistakes. And you're given a chance to leave a godly legacy. Children don't expect their earthly fathers to be perfect. Our Heavenly Father doesn't expect us to be perfect. So your children doesn't expect you to be perfect. But they need fathers who will do their best, who will do their very best by faith to imitate their Father in heaven. Will do their best by faith to imitate their fathers in heaven. So as we look back, just to refresh, we look back and we wisely say that first fathers must be godly men. Remember, children must be able to see an example of Christ in their fathers. We spoke how Paul said to the spiritual children in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. So that's the first thing, God. Fathers must be godly fathers. They got to be, if they want their kids to imitate them, they got to imitate Christ. And then secondly, godly fathers must love their children unconditionally. Hallelujah. And we went over the Luke and the prodigal son. Must love their children unconditionally. Even when your children fall, even when your children make mistakes, even when your kids do things that you know is going to hurt them, and that your grown kids, so they rebel and still do it, you still got to be there with open arms when they come back. Unconditional love. Thirdly, godly fathers need to train their children how to love and how to honor God. We spend so much time training them how to love the world and their classmates and their teachers, their sisters. But we must train our children how to love and honor God. And according to Proverbs 22:6, it tells us that if we do so, by training up a child in the way that he should go in love and honor to God, that even when he's old and he may have fallen off of the pathway, he still will have that seed inside of him growing, and he can find himself back to the Lord. We also in that remember that fathers cannot provoke their children to anger, but fathers must bring them up in discipline and instructions of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we learn in there that discipline is not a reaction. It's not an outburst of a reaction. But discipline actually is a calculated means of imposing consequences that is grounded in love. Discipline. You must learn to discipline your child and demonstrate discipline through tough love that is sometimes needed. And fourthly, we learn that a godly father seeks to give children good gifts. And the good gifts are not just the materialistic things, Although materialistic things are a good gift, given in moderation. But we learned that in James 1 and 7, every good gift given and every perfect gift is from above, comes from the Father of light, who has no variations or shifting shadows. And we also learned that the gifts, the spiritual gifts, such as wisdom and biblical instructions, are good gifts. Good gifts. And we learn how, at early ages, how to get the materialistic gifts, but how many have given their children the spiritual wisdom gift, have given them the biblical instructions on how to seek God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because our Father, again, is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So he knows your desires. Psalms 37 and 4 told us that if we delight ourselves in our Father, then he will give us the desires of our hearts. If we just delight ourselves in our Father, he will give us the desires of our hearts. So fathers, too, ought to be sensitive to their children's desires. Be sensitive to your child's needs. Need to avoid the extremes of spoiling your children by giving into every whim. And then you also flip that coin over. Fathers need to make sure that they're not being too stingy or holding back from their children. As we wrap up, again, I invite you to call in at 646-652-4916. And I remind you that all of the teachings are available for free. You can download them to your MP3 or whatever you want to do. They're in the archives at any time. Get the word, study the word, and apply it to your life. Hallelujah. And remember, a child's view of God will largely be shaped by the father's treatment of them. How many times have I heard someone testify and speak about the father's negative treatment of them and how even as well into their adulthood and their fathers themselves, they're still struggling every day to not become the father that they had, to not do those things to their father, to their kids that their fathers have done to them. And then you see other times, and first of all, that's because they truly have not got over what it was, the impact that the father had in their lives. Once you're truly over that, then you can rest assured that you're over that and you are a godly man and you're ready to go do something else when you repent of your sins and let God use you. And then how many times do you see people, generations on generations and generations, and you see that the grandfather was successful and a godly man, and it passed down to the father and the son, and now his son, and it will continue to be blessed because the head of it is blessing each generation. All fathers right now, before you go to bed tonight, whatever night that you're listening to this on, if nothing else, you should start praying at this point, not just for repentance of your sins and that what you do as a father is of God, that you're leading that example for your child, whether it's a grown child or not, but pray for your child. I don't care what age he is, young or old, pray for him as he becomes a father, that he is led by God into his leadership role as a father. And generations to come, you should be praying for your generations that you've never seen and may not see. You should be praying for those generations now, what kind of fathers they're going to be. And one day as they look back through the photo albums or pull up the internet and they look at your story and they're sitting around the fire at Christmas talking about the things that you used to do and all the positive things that you've done. Yeah, we're going to have negative things because that's just flesh. But how you would repent of your sins and come before God and ask God to clean you so you could be the best that you could be, and how that's still going down through generation to generation. At some point, you have to break the curse of the father being a molester and doing different things or whatever it was, an alcoholic or an abuser, whatever it was. You have to sometimes say, I did this, my father did this, his father did this. You have to stop and say, I'm going to stop it right now. I'm not going to take it any further. I'm not going to let any more generations suffer from this curse. Hallelujah. And remember, children don't expect their earthly fathers to be perfect. But they just need their fathers to do their very best by faith to imitate their Father in heaven. If you're telling me that God loves me in heaven and you want me to trust in God and you want me to believe in God, give me a reason. Give me a reason. Let me see the light that you're leading. I want to see your light shine and the heavenly anointing on you should draw me to you, to draw me to the God in you. Hallelujah. So may God raise up more such men as the men that he just gave us in the scriptures tonight. May your father be that father. Even if he's never been before, may something about him in this day and time, in this Father's Day, ignite something in him to be a better father. And ignite something in you to treat your father better. I saw kids treat their fathers terrible. So maybe something inside of you that ignites you to just love on your father special this Father's Day. And whatever it is that he's not doing, that you may fall on your knees and continue to just pray that God raise up my father to be a godly man. Hallelujah. So the scripture of the day is Ephesians 6 and 4. And it's coming out of the New King James Version. And it says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord. So do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the training of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4. We just love the Lord for his word. We love the Lord for all it is that he's saying and doing. And we look forward to, again, more opportunities to just hear from you of some of the things and some of the enjoyments. I even want to know the funny moments about your fathers. What was so funny about your father? What did your father do that just really just made life more enjoyable for you? When you think of your father, what is it that just the first thing that comes to mind? Hallelujah. Some people have happy moments. Some fathers are gone on, and we still celebrate them tonight also. We celebrate all of the fathers that have gone on to be with the Lord. On tomorrow, we're going to talk about 8 ways to become a better father. We talked today on the 4 different steps. And again, we want to stand back and look at some of the ways that God is just using, has used fathers and is using fathers that has made you want to testify and get on this radio show and say, I want to tell about my father. Call out your father's name. Be proud of your father, whether he's with you or not, whether he's alive or deceased. Hallelujah. And right now, I just want to call out just a few fathers that I think is just wonderful fathers. And I start out with my oldest brother, T. T is a great father. T is the father of Chris and Adrian. And now that they're grown and have their kids, it's just a joy just to see that how he still loves on his grown kids. He loves on his grown kids. So his grown kids, Chris, has 3 sons. And how Chris is so dedicated to his sons is just a blessing. And I can just see that Chris being so dedicated to his sons is because of his father being so dedicated in his life. And it just wasn't for a period of time, because some people say, I'm only a father until you graduate. But it just wasn't for a period of time. But he's always been a father there to Chris and Adrian through all their, you know, 35. Yeah, Chris is 35, you know, and has his own teenagers, and his Chris's son is going to be graduating high school. And he's a wonderful father because he had a wonderful father. And he had a godly father. Examples of a godly father. Was he right? Is he still doing everything right? No, he's still flesh. But he's a good father. Hallelujah. And to my brother, Reggie. Reggie's a good father. He also has two kids. He has Candace and he has Jeray. And we thank you for just being a positive influence in their lives and just being there for them. He's not a grandfather yet, but I just thank you that we can look at their lives and know that what it is, the seed that you've sown in their lives, they're both grown. And when they decide to become parents, that they would reach back on the seed that you've sown, and they too will be a good father. And maybe something that maybe that you didn't do, that they will look at the Lord in you, the God in you, and they will pass on to their sons and their daughters. Their wives will thank you for the things that you're instilling in them today. My brother, DeConcelin, he's an awesome father. Don't mess with his kids. He's an awesome father. He's an awesome father. And he has two kids, Jaleesa and Gerard. And they're just strong, and they're teenagers, and, you know, coming through high school now. Wow. Time just flies by when you're having fun. But the beauty inside of them just radiates anywhere they go. Anybody will say, these are such sweet kids. These are such nice kids. These are not the typical teenagers. And, yeah, they have fun as teenagers. They enjoy their teenage years. But they have a father they know that they can depend on. Through thick and thin, they know that they can depend on their father. And that's an awesome thing. That's a wonderful thing. So we salute you today, T, Reggie, and DeConcelin. We salute you. And then, last but not least, we talked about Chris. We salute you, Chris. And Alex, which is my nephew, which is T's son-in-law. We salute you, Alex. My son, J.D., J.D. is a wonderful father. We spoke a little bit about J.D. a little earlier and his two kids. There are 5 and 20 months. And we just thank God for the relationship that you have with them. And regardless of where they at and what you're doing, they're always on your mind. Whether you're at work or whatever you're doing, your kids are always first in your mind. And nothing, no one can ever separate that. So I thank you for being a beautiful father. I know it makes you feel good when your wife comments on that you're a wonderful father. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Continue to be a good father, and it would last. It's not where you're at. It's what you're doing for your kids. It's how you're understanding their needs. It's how you're not provoking them. It's how you're being an imitator of God. It's how you're living your life that they would want to choose to live a godly life because of the life they see Daddy live. So don't stop living that godly life, my fathers. I don't care what or who comes in your life that's doing anything differently. Don't stop living a godly life because God is there for you. God loves you. So may he keep you. Join me again tomorrow. This is Tri-Anointed Ministries. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. And if you should need a Bible or any other material to help you on your Christian walk, you can always email me your information at walkwithmegod@aol.com. And as you know, I'm the Bible lady. I will send out free Bibles all around the world. All you have to do is just promise to dive inside of it. Hallelujah. To just taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, I don't know where to begin reading the Bible. That's okay. You can also just get back on the blog, talk, and talk to me. I'd start you off. We'll just start a little at a time, but we'll get you where you need to be. Because remember, our Heavenly Father is concerned about your desires. He's concerned about your needs. And he asks that you delight yourself in him. And then he will give you the desires of your heart. So right now, if you've never met Jesus Christ, if you've never met the best friend in the world that will never leave you nor forsake you, I invite you to just repeat after me. Dear Father, just as I am, I come to you, Jesus, and I invite you to come into my life. I repent of my sins, and I believe that you gave your son to die on the cross for my sins. And I thank you, Jesus, for your blood shed on that cross for me. And I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior, not just for now, but forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. If you accept it, you believe it, and you confess with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are a new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away. I would love to hear about your walk, your decision to walk with the Lord. Again, you can email me at walkwithmegod@aol.com, or you can always join us back here on the Blog Talk Radio. Right now, I want you to just think about whatever it is that you need, whether it's the love of a father, whatever desires you have in your heart, whatever needs or wants that you have right now, any bills that you have that are past due, anything that is just pressing, court dates or operations, I just want you to put that thing right at the front of your mind right now, on the tip of your tongue. And we're going to ask God to just rain down through this song, open the floodgates of heaven, and rain down on your situation. Rain down your healing. Rain down your love. Rain down that husband that you're looking for, that spouse. Rain down that child that you haven't heard from, that you're needing to hear from. Let it just rain down on you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the powerful name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May he forever keep you close to him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Meet us here the same time tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. Just sit back and accept and receive God's blessing for you and your life. As he opens the floodgates of heaven and begins to rain down on your situation.
I'm in his presence.
Begin to rain down on your problem. Man said
while
he can't.
I'm thanking him. I know that I have a right.
Thank God. Hallelujah. We love you.
Whatever I need, he will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need you to move in this place tonight. I just need you to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now. Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Help me, somebody, say it tonight.
Open the floodgates of
Open the floodgates of heaven.
feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. Anybody feel the rain? Anybody in this place, you feel the rain?
I feel the rain.
Is there anybody in here, you feel the rain? Yeah.
I feel the rain.
I feel the rain. Maybe you need to look at somebody and tell them, it's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
May the Lord watch over you, watch over your family. We thank you, God, for showing up and giving us the answers to helping our fathers become fathers to fathers like you, that's been imitators of you, and just to open our hearts as wives, as mothers, as daughters and sons, that we may appreciate our fathers on this and every Father's Day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Rain down on us as you open up the floodgates of heaven. Good night. This is Evangelist Von Dumas signing off, saying we love you at Tri-Anointed Ministries. Remember, all the teachings are available in the archives. Good night.